Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL podcast is really phoning it in at this point.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it is the Around the NFL podcast. Dan Hansis here, Greg Rosenthal here. And it's always a little bit weird when I call him the voice of God of the Around the NFL podcast. When he's then on the show as well, it's almost a little braggy. It's like, I'm a voice artist, but I'm also an analyst of the sport. Matt Money Smith, welcome.
And you know how much I love giving you guys the business and getting the business given to me. So a tip of the cap to Ricky Hollywood for playing the guys are really phoning it in when I'm the guy that's sitting
right
on the show.
You're sitting right here. So let's well get done, a live Erica. Read,
well
shall we?
I appreciate it.
It'd be nice to get a little live intro read.
I appreciate
what's up, Money?
That.
Thank you for stepping in. Also, the voice of the Chargers, of course. So you're a very busy man. Big radio show here in LA as well with Petros. But in the Mark Sessler chair for the Week 4 preview show, this is the first time we've done this with you. Excited for this maiden voyage.
Well, I am honored. Well, I'm going to use the word obviously twice. I am pointing out the obvious. Sess, if you're listening, love you. Wish you the best. Get better soon so I don't have to keep doing this because I had too much on my plate. Way too much on my plate.
We're like, Greg, the way we are asking people for help now, we used to be, once upon a time, the most self-contained organism in this entire media group. We never asked anybody on the show. We never had guests. We never had anything. Now we're like hitting up all our buddies, and I think they're starting to get a little annoyed.
Right. We have Claybon and Weiss are on the ATN broadcast this week. People should check that out Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons in the UK. But yeah, it is that balance of like, should we ask Claybon two or three times to help us this week? Let's get Money to take one of those Claybon spots.
It's a delicate balance, right? It's because I want to be invited. I want to be wanted. I want you to want me. But at the same time, I also don't really want to do it.
Yeah, it's right. Not the offseason.
But it's
yeah.
But it's it truly is. You know, it's the scales of justice, and there is a balance there.
Like there is a time, let's say 2 weeks from now, if I hit up Money again, it's going to be like, Zeuser, I wish I could do it. It's just my time's too valuable right now. I just can't. Listen, can't help you out next time.
All I'll say is always ask. Because you know I don't care if I offend you by saying no. So feel free to always ask.
Money shoots from the hip.
This is meaty. I know this is a meaty show because I listen. I love the Around the NFL podcast. So I know how big this one is. It's going to take a little while to get through all this. And I don't like playing the grab ass to start the pod. That just seems like such a... You know, BS pod cliche, like, right. Hey, we're fun-loving guys.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 8 years, and you're going to do it now.
I'm just going to – you don't even need to comment on it.
This is like with all due respect
before you insult somebody. you had to carry the last show because Dan's voice was blown out, yet you guys never shared why his voice was blown out.
I didn't know. I didn't ask, to be honest.
Why don't you tell everyone, Dan, why your voice was blown out?
All right. I will, and I do appreciate you putting me on the spot.
Damn here. Right.
I just figured it was the, you know, it's 24 hours of vocal content.
Wait till you hear this one. Wait till you hear this one,
I
Greg.
Blew out my voice on a Saturday afternoon.
Come on, spit it out there.
Because Giancarlo Stanton hit a grand slam over the Green Monster in Ontario down street. It was, I mean, it's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace.
I knew something big must have happened because... Dan knows I don't really follow the baseball so much anymore, but he did send me what I suspect was like a half-drunk text about like how my dad is feeling about it. And I was like, I don't know, what are you even talking about, my dad? Like, I wasn't aware of the game at that point, yeah. But you know it was a big moment.
As right. I told
that
him.
Text. That was the first one all season.
Act like a professional.
Yeah, well, no, that Act. Was a learning lesson. In fact, yeah. I woke up Sunday morning and I was like, usually it's if I have a big screaming sports event, which is good because sometimes.
No, it's not. How about we don't scream during sporting events that are on the
exactly,
TV?
This is exactly.
They're on TV.
No, this is exact. First
on
of all,
television.
All right, choir boy. Choir the one thing boy. I don't like about working in sports is all the people like me that grew up loving sports all of a sudden are too cool for sports. And like, oh, why would you ever cheer? Why would you ever get excited for a sporting event? I still love my teams. I love the Yankees. I love the Knicks. I love the Jets, obviously. Yeah. And sometimes it gets away from me. And I will learn from it. But also, that's also why I work in this business, because I'm passionate about it.
Part of me is embarrassed for you, and part of me envies you, because I am one of those too cool to cheer for teams guys. And I have.
Right.
I'm not too cool. I get into it. It's more at this point like fandom is tennis and basketball.
That's
bit.
Right.
Not football as much, but it's more you want to be an example for your kids. I was worried, like, my dad was visiting. I mentioned that, and I was praying the Patriots would stomp the Jets,
right.
Because.
Which, thank you for the context now of why right. I texted you. I right. thought your dad
if,
was with
if
you.
He had left at that point, but I didn't want him screaming and swearing during a bad Patriots game in front of my boy. That's bad. It's yeah. bad.
No, that's good for the
bad.
Boy. That's good for the boy. That's actually good for the boy.
I definitely do watch the swearing. I don't do that, but it's hard not to get excited.
Right. I'm
but
sorry.
Anyway.
I knocked it off the rails.
No, that's good.
My apologies.
And I do declare vengeance upon you, Money,
absolutely.
For bringing that up.
It's only about the 50th time you've declared vengeance upon me.
And guess what? This time it's coming.
That's right.
I declared vengeance on Money last week.
That's right.
When I'm in the makeup chair and it's hot down there. They haven't figured out the air conditioning. So I had a little vengeance. I had a little fan on me. And then there was someone working on my hair and on my face.
It was a moment.
And then he's taking video. And Greg, you know, that's out of bounds. You don't take video in the makeup room to try to
embarrass. No, you're right. Greg doesn't. But I do. That's right. The kind of guy I am.
All right. Here we go. Let's
All right.
get to it.
All right. Here we go.
Week 4. You know how it goes. I think, Money, you know how it goes.
I do. I listen.
We
so I know.
We'll go through every game to come. Thursday night football, of course, Bengals-Jaguars. That's going to be an old Zeuser joint with a secret guest. And I'm just going to, this all I'm going to say who the guest is, a little dash of zest to the conversation when this particular person open up the cabinet, take something out of the cabinet, and then you a little dash of it.
Any particular spice? Like, is it the Italian
just tell
seasoning?
Just tell me and Ricky can beep it out. I just want to know.
You haven't pieced it together?
Wait.
He literally just said spice.
Oh.
Spice rack will be joining me. Brad Spicer, Cincinnati native, Chris Wessling buddy.
There we go.
And the Chris Wessling Desert Consigliere will be talking Bengals. And
great choice.
Number
great
one draft choice. Pick quarterbacks. That's coming up later tonight, so look for that. Let's start first before we get into our draft, and Money will participate in the draft, and maybe that will be how we get Shook's games sorted out, and maybe Patrick will figure all that out without Mark here. But before any of that, let's start with the primetime games, and where else to start but Sunday night football. And Greg, I know how you are, Greg. You have been avoiding this conversation on the show as long as you can, and you did a good job, and I was distracted with other things too, so I didn't really get a chance to drill in on it. But this is it. This is what you've been fearing your whole life. Tom Brady is coming to Foxborough. And not only coming to Foxborough, this is something I feel like you brought up last May. You're like, and if you figure out, you see where his numbers are, it might line up that he could break Drew Brees' passing record.
Oh, they said it exactly for this purpose. They put
right.
it week 4 so
and
he could
So
break
you
the
had mentioned that, I remember, maybe a couple months back, and that's exactly where we are now after Brady went over 400 last week against the Rams. So not only is Tom Brady coming back to Foxborough with Gronk, by the way, he has a chance to set the record, and that's a stop down the game situation, I guess. I think it was for Drew Brees.
Oh, I don't think so on the road. They're not going to stop it.
Well, this isn't any road game, Greg,
yeah.
And that's what this is all about, because not only is Brady back and you know he wants to deliver a whipping on his old coach, it's at a vulnerable time for the Patriots.
Like, all of the fan stuff and the Brady returns and the relationship stuff, I
downplay it, baby.
I almost don't want to dive into it much, and yet the Patriots are so boring right now as a football team, and the Bucs are sort of what they are right now. They're a one-dimensional team that doesn't really run the ball well, that's at this point overrated defensively, and you can move the ball against. I think it might be Mac Jones' best chance to make some plays is this game because they're so boom or bust. That I find this Patriots team a little boring right now. It's not a great defense. They're a totally disappointing offensive line. It's a station-to-station offense, but it gets kind of back to the Tom Brady of 2019 and 2018. So it's crazy that he's returning to New England, not just as a Super Bowl champion, but as arguably the best quarterback in the league. And it gets to where Brady was in 2018, 2019. I went to look at his ranking on the QB index end of the year. That's a good feel.
Sure.
10th and 18, 14th and 19. And I think about those Patriots teams and I think how lame they were at the skill positions. And I look at this team again and I watched them last week against the Saints and I was like,
lame.
This is another lame Patriots offense, especially at the skill positions. And it's almost like Brady always made those skill positions look better than they really are. And they tried to make some signings this offseason and they'll probably get better this year. But it's very similar to me, except now you got a rookie quarterback running it instead of one of the greatest ever.
Well, you know, I don't know if it was you guys, but it seemed like consensus was, think back to those early aughts. That's the way this is going to look. Dominant defense, dominant offensive line. They're signing both Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith to be there. Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. And that's going to help out Mac Jones, which throws to the middle of the field. I think we're still waiting for it. I think you said it best. You know, look, Damian Harris looked great in week one, right? I mean, outside of that fumble, it's like, okay, this is what we anticipated. Is there sizzle? Not really a lot, but you can win games this way. And Bill Belichick, and his ability to coach and to help on those margins, the inches that you have to account for that gets you 21-18 wins or 24-21 wins. And I just don't know if Mac Jones and the offense is good at that. It's different. 2021 is different
right.
than 2005. You've got to score 28 points.
I mean, they're better offensively than they were when Tom Brady was right. a starter in 2001 already. That's how bad that offense was. It was one of the worst offenses.
Different
that's,
era, too.
But right. Yeah. That's the thing, is it's a different era.
It's hard
and it's
for
like they're trying
to
play to a different era, and their defense is not that good.
Right.
They've played three pretty poor quarterbacks in a row. I think up front, they've been dominated. Until last week, they were okay on the defensive line. They're an average to maybe better than average offense defense, but that doesn't get you very far. There's a lot of those, and I don't think it's going to get you many stops against Tom Brady.
So I do think it's interesting because at the end of the Brady era in New England, their skill positions had dried up, and we were told that was, they had some roster maneuvering that made it difficult to get better. This offseason, they went out of the way and spent, like we said, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. Remember all the hype about that when they came in, Nelson Aguilar, which was a signing that got a
Where's
hype
he?
In March. And you're not seeing this. And Damian Harris then, okay, they can run the football, and Damian Harris. Then you read about Damian Harris can't pass protect. So that's why maybe he's not getting on the field as much as he can. And now
figure it out.
Now James White is out of the lineup for the season, most likely with the hip injury. And I guess this is my kind of last point on this, Greg, that isn't a little bit ironic, Greg, that just this above the treetops now.
You know what's not
Top
ironic?
Above the treetops.
Rain on your wedding day.
That is not
ironic.
Alanis kind of blew that one.
Yeah, she sure did.
It worked
the whole
out for her. But
bad luck.
I had some pie
exactly.
on my face,
that's
obviously.
All it is.
For my hashtag gradual decline prediction of Brady in the late teens. But guess what? Didn't it turn out it was the Patriots?
Yes.
That ultimately misevaluated their own guy. And I think it's just telling that the best quarterback in the league, arguably, 2021, is back in New England now where this didn't have to be this way. I guess he could have been Derek Jeter with the Yankees. Could have spent his whole career there. We're not relitigating this, but it is a part of the story that he remained great, and the Patriots didn't have the foresight to see that or make the relationship what it needed to be. And there's no way around it. That's part of this game.
They've been handling this well, Belichick and Brady publicly, very well. But the part where Belichick was like, "Well, I didn't want him to leave." It's like, come on,
right?
It's like, come on, man. I mean. To be fair, no one wanted Tom Brady, including the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He got paid about the same amount of money as Teddy Bridgewater as a free agent. The entire NFL could have come in and given him some money, and no one wanted to give him money. They gave him basically minimum salary, and even the Bucks were like, no, we're not going to go off that. We're not going to go above that. Chargers wanted him.
They
Bucks
did.
Wanted
I can,
him. I can but no one
they
wanted,
wanted
to. No one believed that he was a difference-making quarterback, or they wouldn't have offered him a lower salary than Derek Carr.
But that's missing the
right.
point.
That's missing
that
the point.
Making,
My
that
point
the
is
the Patriots should have known. These other teams didn't have access to Brady, so they're seeing from the outside, oh, looks like he's getting old. New England wasn't able to see that this guy could still be incredible if you just get things fixed around him and treat him like the legend that he is, not like just another guy that's in your locker Maybe, room.
They thought he'd get old.
I don't want this to be hot takey, but I know it's going to come out that way. To me, this is so not a big deal. Like, it really is not. The guy won the freaking Super Bowl. He was one of the, he was the best quarterback in the playoffs. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. This is nothing. This game against Bill Belichick.
For him.
I think just in general, it's
It is for this week, but in the scheme of things.
You know what I mean? Like, it's over.
He's a competitor,
over.
Though. He's it one of the great over. Competitors ever. I think it means a lot to him, but he's saying just, the right thing.
And it's going to be, it's going to mean a lot to Belichick. It is fascinating, just as someone who loves football, to see what he tries to do to stop them, because they are traditionally like a man-to-man type of defense. I don't think they got, you know, they've been playing more zone this year. I don't think they have... the guys, they really missed Stephon Gilmore this week to go man-to-man. They you would think they would adopt what the Rams try to do and what teams try to do now, which is just like put two safeties back there, make them work down, up and down the field right. as slowly as possible, and hope he makes a mistake or someone else does, which happened last week. Gronk had a couple key drops. There's a couple offensive line issues, and they ended up scoring that many touchdowns. So I am fascinated to see from like a football angle, but I also am annoyed by the Patriots fans who have been so spoiled by the greatest run in NFL history, and all they can do is complain and whine about it. And I get it. Like, you wish you kept Tom Brady. I don't think that Tom Brady on these teams would have been the same Tom Brady, but just like have some gratitude. I mean, just stop complaining about everything.
Let me, we got to move on, but I do want to ask you one question, Greg. What is in your mind the best case scenario for Sunday night in terms of how Brady plays, what the score is, you know, just give it to me. What,
I mean,
what's
they
the
could win
case?
The game. It's the NFL, and the Bucks have
but
not
would you like,
great.
Would you like it to be, let's say it's not never going to happen, but 35-3 and Belichick schemes up Brady and destroys him. Would you want that? Or do you want Brady to play well, have a nice moment in Foxborough back there, and Patriots still win, obviously? What would you rather have? Just out of curiosity.
No, I don't want Brady to be embarrassed. I don't want the crowd's not going to boo him. But it would really bother me if they did boo him or if they went against him. I think it's the other way, that this is a game where you expect the Bucks to win big. I think there's been a mutiny building among a lot of Patriots fans who have kind of become Bucks fans and Brady fans. And the NBC's showing these ads
it's
where
insane,
it's like we're against it. It's like, I don't think that's really Boston. I think a lot of them are like our friends Burke, and they're very conflicted. They've been loving watching Brady. So have I, because how can you not love Tom Brady if you're a Patriots fan? And they're going to kind of like jump ship when the Bucks drop a hammer on the Patriots. And that's why I'm locking it up for the Bucks.
Whoa! You're such a mess. I can't believe you're doing that to your team.
I mean, if I've got to go 0-3 and just be a total mess, I might as well make the pick that's for the show. If the Patriots win, that's
right.
good for the
okay.
show.
Now,
and this
here's
is
your
good
cover.
For the show.
You're covering your old buttocks there because you're 0-3, and now you're saying you're doing the pick for the show. But you got to do the pick for yourself, Greg. It's a good lock, though. I mean,
sure.
This is the Bucks coming off a disappointing loss. We got to move. Monday Night Football.
We'll be faster on everything. Also, the offensive line's so terrible, and James White being out for the season kills right. him. He was their best player.
And as I said, Damian Harris reports that he's failing in his coverage. I mean, in his blocking assignments. That's why he wasn't.
Best case scenario is it's a shootout, and Mac Jones looks good, and I think that's possible.
All right,
it's possible.
Speaking of shootouts. Money.
Yes.
You will be on the call across the sidewalk.
I will.
At SoFi Stadium for Raiders at Chargers. This is a great game. Not a good game. A great game between a 3-0 Chargers team and a 2-1 3-0 Raiders team and a 2-1 Chargers team that everyone is excited about. And you know who's more excited than anyone, money? Brandon Staley. I love the way Brandon Staley goes out of his way now, back-to-back weeks. Once after a loss, once after a win, the best player on that football field is our quarterback. And I know Mike Williams got love this week too, but he's letting everyone know, both in how he calls games and what he says to the media, I have something really special here, and that's going to take us far.
And he backs it up. You know, I mean, I think that's the difference, right? You can say it all you want, but he backs it up. He wants the ball in Justin Herbert's hands. He wants it with 6.5 minutes left against the Washington football team. He wants it with 46 seconds and a 4th-and-9 against the Kansas City Chiefs.
So you don't think that was just about playing the Chiefs. You think this is sort of what they're going to be in
100%.
Terms of letting Justin Herbert. I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, I think it's a message. I think it is a message because, look, and I don't think he would say this. This is my own interpretation. I think the last 4 years, and I truly do. I loved having Anthony Lynn as a head coach. He is as good a dude as you could be around and was always very forthcoming. But I just think he coached scared's not the right word. He coached against the clock. And I think against situational football from 10 years ago, it's like, hey, milk the clock, make them use their timeouts, and we'll win by two. And man, this team for 4 years, you know the numbers. Nobody lost more one score games. Nobody lost more 3-point games. And I think it was deflating that this team had an identity crisis of, well, we're just waiting for the bad thing to happen because
it's
happened
so many
times. They also
have like the next Patrick Mahomes now.
So I think.
Whoa there, Greg.
I'm just saying, like the next, you know.
He's special. He is a very, very special player. There are throws that he has made through 3 games this year. The one that I would point to is go back to the Dallas game and watch that freaking rope he threw to Keenan Allen 30 yards down the field. It was layered. It was a laser. And I cannot believe it was completed. and I think that's just an indication. I think Brandon Staley knows
that.
The
one like a couple plays before that got overturned that was 45 yards on a line.
Yeah.
Never seen a throw.
That's what I'm talking about. The one to Keenan that was 45 yards on the line that got called back for a hold.
Professionally, do you pinch yourself? Because starting last season, it was Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert, who was not a slam dunk prospect. A lot of people were talking down on him. To now be walking into, it feels like a Dan Marino type talent here.
Look, I mean, you guys know I'm a college football fan, and I watched Justin Herbert in Oregon, and this is not what we saw. This is not how Mario Cristobal plays football. He plays not to turn the ball over. He believes in his defense, his O-line, and his run game.
He should be taking heat
Absolutely should. He absolutely should. They should have won a national championship if he was able to cut him loose instead of the way he chose to use him. So I didn't know what the Chargers were getting when they drafted him at number 6. I thought they were getting the guy that I saw at Oregon that would, you know, if his guy wasn't wide open, he tucked and ran, and that doesn't work in the NFL. And, man, it's turned out to be as special a quarterback as we have in the league right now.
We'll get to we've talked a lot of Raiders, and this is still a Raiders-y question, but we don't have money here. So I just want to ask, because you have a good sense of this team, facing this Raiders offense where 4 receivers have over 200 yards receiving already. Carr is playing, I think, even better than Herbert. They're both like top 5 level quarterbacks.
Carr's playing the best
right
he's
now.
Ever played in his career.
He's playing this well despite a pretty bad offensive line and no running game, which is wild. How do you feel about this Chargers defense after 3 weeks and like how they match up here? Because I don't know what I think about the Chargers defense.
So game. Here's the way I describe the Chargers defense is they are operating exactly how they want to. And people are saying, you can't stop the run and 400 yards and 450 yards here. They figured it out. Like, I think this is exactly what they want to do. You've got explosive offenses in the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Cowboys just put up a 40 burger and they dropped 29 on the Bucks. What did they do against the Chargers? They needed a 56-yard field goal at zeros to get to 20. The Chiefs were averaging 35 a game. What do? They score 24 and they turn the ball over 4 times. This is what they want to do. This has become a league of explosive plays. You are not going to get your explosive
plays
against
the Raiders
us.
Are like pretty much the number one team.
Exactly.
You're almost making me regret picking the Raiders in this game.
Yeah, so that's what I think you're going to see is you're going to see a bunch of yards and people are going to be like, man, I don't know. Is this defense for real? And then you're not going to see a lot of points. And that's what they want. That's how they're going to play the game.
We have an inner office raffle for these games at SoFi. Greg won last week, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah, let's connect some dots there.
How about that? You're going to the game on Monday night?
Yeah, it was the Bucks-Rams game, I gave him to LaKeisha. So LaKeisha got to go with her
awesome.
Great friend.
Beautiful.
So I figured there might be, you know, the fix might be in
So come at me now for that money. Money's like, oh, okay, now I'm sorry.
I put in the raffle for tomorrow's Chargers game. I would love to see. This is going to be a shootout. The Raiders, we're talking about their offense, 8 straight games with 400 total yards. That is the longest active streak. The Vikings are the next closest with 4. They are flirting with history. If they do it again, they tie the 2007 Patriots. 9. So
wow.
And now Josh Jacobs.
I think there's a great chance they will. I think they'll get their yards. It's just
Josh Jacobs is back. potentially for this game as well, whatever that means. I don't know what Josh, what is Josh Jacobs in 2021? Well, he's supposed to be their lead back, and he returned to practice on Thursday. So that can only give them a little more balance. This is a great game. Pick it. You said you picked the Raiders.
I took the Raiders on the website.
You're not allowed
NFL.com/game picks.
Because you know I'll take the Chargers, but I do think the Chargers win this game. To me, it's Max Crosby versus Storm Norton. I mean, it's so funny. Every team, the 3 weeks that the Chargers have played them, they start with Chase Young on Rashawn Slater. After one series, they're like, nope, other side. Mm. And they start with Chris Jones on Rashawn Slater, two snaps, and they're like, nope, other side. And they're going to start with Max Crosby on Rashawn Slater, I'm sure, to see if he can get the advantage there, and they can try to crack that code. And they're going to move him to the other side. So it's going to be Max Crosby versus Storm Norton, and it's going to be Joey Bosa against Alex
Leatherwood. 3.5-point favorites, the Chargers. Yeah. It was a little surprise. So that felt like a little too rich for me, and then I just went the whole month.
All right, so get ready. This is a fun one.
I know we got to speed it up.
Now,
they're the primetime games, right?
Before we get to the draft, let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right. Here we go. We're back. Draft time. I got the first overall pick. And
a little worried here.
We're going to start. Let's be obvious here. Cardinals at Rams. Love it. Great AFC West game on Monday night. Great NFC West game here. The Rams, to me, seem like a team that's just in a really, really good place on both sides of the ball. The Cardinals, I'm not sure what to make sense of the Cardinals right now, Greg. I see them. Obviously, they're playing winning football, but do you see them at the level of these other top teams in the NFC right now, or are they still a step beneath that?
No, they need to prove that, especially on both sides of the ball. They've been run over too easily the last few weeks, dominated by Minnesota. Sort of, not embarrassing, but just shocking that J.J. Watt and this group could steamroll. And then when the Jaguars were running on them really well last week, I was like, okay, maybe this is a problem. So normally you would expect Sean McVay, the outside zone, hey, let's attack that. And so I'm kind of curious if that's still part of the Rams' arsenal, because the craziest thing about the Rams so far is that they don't look anything like the Rams used to. They called three play-action plays last week. That used to be like the basis of their offense. There's no outside zone. They don't even try to run the ball. There you are, a drop-back shotgun, let Matthew Stafford throw outside the numbers team. And it's almost like Sean McVay's like flexing a little bit, being like, see, I just did that because I had to, and we don't have to anymore.
100%. And remember, you know, it was the Bears, right, that did it before the Patriots, or was it the Lions?
Yeah, it was the Bears initially.
Yeah.
Kind of
so
came up with a recipe to stop them.
Yeah. And now it's like, well, here we go. Again, you don't have the code anymore because I got Matthew Stafford and
they've
all
maybe
these
taken
weapons.
Some teams, especially Tampa, by surprise that it's just like totally gone.
Their O-line's playing great. You know, and that's always been a big question because they have no depth there, and the margins are so slim at that position group, and it's held up. Matthew Stafford looks fantastic. They've got three unique pass catching options. Cooper Kupp's playing the best of any wide receiver in football. Robert Woods is such a great blocking wide receiver and just does everything well. And obviously, you saw last week with DeSean Jackson. I think.
Jefferson Jackson
and Van Jefferson
and Higby are perfect role players.
And I just think Sean McVay is like, it's why so many people like him. He's just a kid. He's like, man, I got all this stuff. Let's go play with it. I got a new toy. Let's go play with the toys. I
like sounds like you don't think the Cardinals are.
No, I don't like them in this game, though. And I'll tell you one matchup that really jumps out to me is, and I know that the Cardinals are getting a real impact from Rondale Moore, their second-round pick, and Christian Kirk made some plays last week. But DeAndre Hopkins is not 100% right now. He's got that rib issue. He wasn't a dynamic player last week. I know he had one big play called back, but he's going to be up against Jalen Ramsey. So if Hopkins is erased by Ramsey.
Well, I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of Christian Kirk, Jalen Ramsey, because they
think so.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing slot more than anything through three games, and Kirk has been lethal. I mean, that's kind of been the special
sauce.
Well, you're
going to AJ Green had a little juice last week. They are dangerous offensively. I mean, they are good.
I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up, and you're going to be asking a lot of Kyler Murray here, and perhaps he could deliver it, but I like the Rams.
I do too. I'm confused by they drafted Isaiah Simmons in the top 10 and then Zaven Collins in the top 15, and they can't play those two guys together. They're kind of getting they tried to trade Jordan Hicks in the offseason, and he actually is playing more. I just think they have some issues up front, and you have to have your defense really on its P's and Q's against the Rams, or else I don't think you're just going to get in a shootout, and that's hard to.
Money, you are up next.
All right. I am going to take.
It's tough.
It is, because there's so many good games.
Well, just
I'm going to take the Browns at Vikings.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. This is a good one.
Stefanski.
I wanted that, but okay.
Stefanski back in Minnesota. And part of this is for me to pat myself on the back. Because on our power rankings show, we had to do a...
which you can watch every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Exactly. NFL.
My favorite moment of the week is when I get lunch with like Dan on Tuesday, and there's Dan and Money
right?
on the huge screens.
In our cafeteria.
In our cafeteria. And Dan's
sometimes
like, hey, look at that guy up there.
I'll be talking to Greg, and the TV will be behind me, and Greg's just lost, like just like a grimace. Like,
stop.
Oh, like is it like...
far away stare.
His broadcast husband is cheating on him?
It's more like you are staring and you're just getting lost in your own eyes. You're just like, wow, that guy
man. Look at that TV magic up there.
Go ahead.
You know, when everybody was freaking out about the Vikings, Kyle Rudolph taking a shot at Mike Zimmer. Hey, Rudolph, shut up.
Whoa.
How dare you take a shot at Zim when the Vikings were nothing before he got
Rudolph
there? They get competitive. He drafts a bunch of defensive backs. I can back. He was doing it before anybody else, saying, look, this league is all about corners now. And he was just loading up on him. You know, good for Zim for figuring that out. And I like hearing that kind of stuff from you, Rudolph. You got it? Where are the Giants at now?
Where are those Vikings cornerbacks at now, though?
That's true. Oh, they're scattered throughout the league. But you know what? You got to take your swings and figure out which one of them are going to stick.
I want to get to the Vikings a little bit, but I love that the Browns have a real challenge here. I want to figure out, like we mentioned the power rankings. I've stuck them at number 8 and just left them there for, I think, 4 or 5 straight weeks now, because they're kind of doing exactly what you expect. They hung really tight with the Chiefs and KC got beat, took care of business against Houston and Chicago. There are moments in both those wins or performances are like, yes, this team could be dominant in the right spot, but also moments in both of those games where it's like, all right, guys, you're elite, right? Let's see you play that way. So now you go to Minnesota to face a Vikings team that could easily be 3-0 and have an offense
that's
very difficult to stop. This, Greg, is a Browns test that I've been waiting for since week one.
Great game. They're sort of two teams that look in the mirror at each other. I think right now, Kirk Cousins is the slightly better version of Baker Mayfield. We put that comp on him last year on this show. I think that
it's a great comp.
Right now, they're similar type players. Cousins is just playing at a really high level.
And to me, there's a. It may sound crazy, but I don't. No, it doesn't. I mean, I think there's a pretty sizable gap in receiver groups. You know, for what Kirk is throwing to and what Baker is throwing
to.
You'll just see Jarvis disappear in games. I don't know if Odell Beckham's back yet.
He looks good. Jarvis is out this week, but you're right.
So
like you're counting on Donovan Peoples.
Exactly.
You're counting on Hooper. But you have that running game, and that's where like the mirror thing really matches up.
Madison did last week. And I know the Seahawks were the Seahawks were just terrible last week. But you said, you're looking in the mirror. The scheme's the same. You know what they want to do. Minimize mistakes. Can the quarterback capitalize on all the attention we're paying to slowing down the run?
The difference is, I kind of talked about how, you know, the Rams aren't doing as much play action. The Vikings aren't as much either, and they're definitely going 3 receivers instead of 2 tight ends. I think losing Rudolph, getting rid of him, and then Irv Smith got hurt, has kind of helped them out.
Yeah, but screw Kyle Rudolph.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think you put KJ Osborne out there, and they're a little more dynamic with three receivers on the field instead of the two tight ends. But I do love that this game, if the Vikings lose, if you thought Mike Zimmer was cranky before, you don't think that ownership loved Kevin Stefanski. Yeah. He was there for a decade. This wasn't just like, oh, I came back a little bit. And in 2019, if the Vikings had a losing record or a bad season, they were absolutely going to get rid of Mike Zimmer. They were absolutely going to elevate Kevin Stefanski. The Wolves love him. It's an open secret.
Wait a second.
But you know what? The Vikings made the playoffs that year, and Stefanski said bye. Everyone likes each other. They respect. And it's got levels to it, because I think Gary Kubiak getting there gave Stefanski a basis that he has taken with them to Cleveland. And who's Minnesota's offensive coordinator? Clint Kubiak, Gary's son. Like,
great.
It's a whole thing. It's
He's
a whole thing.
Nepotism forever.
Mike Zimmer. Yeah. Mike Zimmer.
Love it.
Is a very good coach. I like the guy. I like what he's made up of.
He doesn't want to lose to the little guy that was his buddy, though, before.
I know, but I thought you were intimating that they made a mistake, and maybe they did.
No.
But I think Zimmer's a very good coach.
But he doesn't want to lose to that guy.
And I think Clint Kubiak, nepotism or not, is off to a good start. And I'll tell you what about these Vikings.
Oh. This is Dan's thing this week, buddy.
I love the Vikings.
Wow.
I love them so much that I'm going to... Sessler.
Boo.
Can't do it. I can't lock up against the Browns. Almost did. Told Ricky
Don't
I was.
Don't blame it on Sessler.
Told Ricky earlier this week I would, but no. Another team caught my eye, and I had to go in another direction, but I like the Vikings.
Part of me, one of the reasons why I wanted to take it with my number one draft pick is part of me thinks that this could be a total Kirk Cousins meltdown game. Like, Garrett hits him a couple times
I don't think
early,
the Browns are that hard to figure out. I'm curious what their defense will be like, but I just think they are a elite offense, and so I'm giving them a slight edge because I've just seen them be elite for longer than I've seen the Vikings be an elite offense.
Greg, you're up.
Although they've been great. I'm so glad you guys didn't take Panthers Cowboys early. That was the one game I really wanted more than any on this entire slate early.
If Christian McCaffrey's healthy, I would
late.
Have.
Doesn't matter.
Really?
Because if the Cowboys stomp on him, to me that's telling it's a great story of what the Cowboys are doing. And these are just two teams that I think are like new-ish because the Cowboys were away and this Cowboys defense is different and the Panthers are different. And so I'm fascinated by the teams that are different. The Chiefs, I know who they are. I think I kind of know who the Browns are. These are two really interesting stories. I think that Dak right now is so good that he's making everyone look better. Even like future Hall of Famers like Tyron Smith. Oh, Tyron Smith is over the hill. It's like, now he's great again. Well, you know why? Dak Prescott's back.
Yeah, no
you know why? Zeke legitimately looks better. I've thought that since week one. But the receivers, everyone, even the defense looks better with Dak Prescott going up and down the field. And I just think he's playing at such a high level. I want to see him challenge. And I think this Panthers defense is an incredible challenge. Great offense beats great defense. So I like the Cowboys, but I'm really excited to watch it.
Yeah, I'm bummed that the secondary is banged up. I would have loved to have seen J.C. Horn healthy. It just seems like
they got C.J. Henderson. I don't know if that's a huge downgrade. I kind of like C.J. Henderson. Yeah, he's going to play it.
I mean, I get why you make that trade for, you know, and I just think back to the combine and that draft and how people liked C.J. Henderson more than Jeff Okuda. You know, there were a handful of those people.
I do, too. Just the way he moved. He's supposedly
super athlete.
A little bit of a headache, according to some of his teammates. So I'm not putting that out there on my own.
But I would say.
Good player.
You know, I would say Matt Rhule is someone who can I think crack sort of that code if that's what you have to do. If he's got all the talent, you just got to get the head right. I do have faith in Matt Rhule. I love the pass rush, man. I love watching Burns. I think Reddick was a perfect, you know, free agent acquisition for him. Shaq Thompson slowed down a little bit from his torrid start there early, but I'm with you. I think it's just a great defense versus offense matchup for those two units. The Panthers defense versus the Cowboys.
And can Sam Darnold potentially keep up in a high scoring game?
Let me ask you a question, Greg. As I was going to go into that direction. Where is Sam Darnold on the QB index this week? He comes in at number 20 is my guess.
I'm going to guess 16.
I'm going to say
16.
14.
18.
Oh, damn it. All right. For me, and again, it's naughty. It's too raw. A Jet fan and a passionate one blew out his voice rooting for his New York sports team this past week. It's hard to kind of figure out Sam Darnold right now. But if he goes to Dallas and gets in a shootout with Dak and he's able to move the ball without Christian McCaffrey, I mean, what else do you need to see to say, oh, he's fixed now. He is maybe not a great quarterback, but yeah, one that Matt Rule is going to have success with, and they're going to continue to beat teams they should beat.
He's played well. So, I think he's been highly managed, and so I don't give him as much credit as quarterbacks that have to do more. I think he's going to have to do more because I think I'm keeping an eye on the Carolina offensive line in this game. I think the Cowboys win. You know, they're a 4.5-point favorite. I think they win comfortably in the end because – their offensive line, which I thought was a problem coming into the year, and it wasn't. They kind of schemed around them the first two games. Houston got after them and hit Darnold a lot, and so I'm keeping an eye on that because I think if you have bad pass protection, it's going to be hard to keep up.
I would say whatever you do, Sam, and I know you're listening to the Around the NFL podcast.
Awesome.
Stay away from Trevon Diggs. Just
That guy
cut the field in half. He's so good. Stay away from him.
How many more people in the country now know who Trevon Diggs is than like 2 months ago? I mean, between Hard Knocks and the, and the big games that he's
had. Yeah, I mean, the Chargers
interception every week.
Every week, yeah.
Precocious little boy, his son. Just like kind of in broad strokes, the Cowboys playing with a ton of confidence right now, looking really good at home. The Panthers 3-0. Could lose and still be okay. It all kind of is, to me, looking like
I don't think it's a blowout. I disagree with you, Greg. I just don't.
When I say blowout, I just like, I like it more than 4.5, put it that way.
Carolina is number one almost across the board in many defensive metrics. But again, you got to look at who they played.
And I'm still not sold on the Dallas defense. You know, I think they took advantage of Storm Norton in that Charger game, and I think they took advantage of a beat-to-hell Eagles offensive line in that game as well.
But is Sam Darnold without CMC going to be lighting
on? I mean, that's...
And by the way, get Robbie Anderson involved. Let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, let's go, Greg. Snake it.
Oh, great. I can take my number one late game, which I had a feeling you guys wouldn't. Ravens Broncos.
That was going to be my pick, you jerk.
I mean, you're not even...
it's the AFC West. I got to pay attention to the AFC West.
Well, it's a great game.
It is a great game.
Because we wanted to see...
And now you're not allowed to watch it, Money. That is the
right.
Rules.
You're not in the
podcast
news. You're allowed to watch it.
It's terrible.
It's fine.
What a terrible development.
Lamar Jackson's missed...
Why did I agree to come on the show?
I took the Browns, by the way, because they're the Chargers opponent next week. So it works out perfectly for me.
There you go.
I am curious to see Lamar Jackson after he misses practice twice this week with a back injury. They're saying it's not serious, so I'm assuming he's playing, but that's a little bit of a concern. He also missed some practice last week with an illness, which you now wonder, was it actually a back injury? Hey, who knows with NFL teams?
Was the back injury from the flip
into the end zone
on Sunday Night Football?
How about don't do flips into the end zone?
They said, that bothered his hip at the time. Now it's a back. I don't know. Can the Ravens defense come and go get after Denver, who's missing two starting guards in practice this week, who hasn't had a great offensive line.
Yes.
Teddy got a lot of hits.
Can they
the group that blitz, and they should feel better about it now because there's no KJ Hamler in this game or for the rest of the season.
No Jerry Jeudy.
It's going to be a while. And those were the guys who won quickly. But the Ravens secondary, they're not as talented as they were either. And you got to match up with Obuikam and Fant, the tight ends. And you still got Sutton and Patrick out there. I just think it's a great matchup to see where these two teams are at. I think it's about as even as it possibly gets. I had a hard time picking this one.
Yeah, I love that Cortland Sutton reminded everybody how good he is. You know, so much attention on Jerry Jeudy, and understandable.
There's
the West guy.
All the West
Sutton
guys, when
so
I watch
good
them play, I'm just like, West knew right away.
The O-line's an issue. It's going to be an issue this week. I know the Baltimore blitz stats are a little down, but that's because of the way they were playing the Chiefs. They are still going to blitz the living hell out of you, and I cannot wait to see how Teddy manages that after the three defenses that he faced leading up to this point. To me, this is a reminder, and I'm sorry, Greg, because I know how much you love Teddy B, old Teddy Two Gloves, but to me, this is going to be a reminder of why this guy is on his fourth team.
Well, the situation's not nearly as good as it looked 3 weeks ago because of the missing personnel. They're
that's
missing
what I mean. There's that as
seven
well
starters between offense and defense, including four on offense.
And to me, this is the perfect offense to go against that defense, right? The strength is in the secondary. You can scheme against Von Miller. Just run right at him. That's all they want to do is run the hell out of the ball.
Him not being healthy here is the biggest thing jumping out to me. If Lamar is not Lamar, they're obviously very vulnerable here. And Denver,
he finished that game though and looked
great
for the most part in that game, I think.
And, you know,
drops.
He'll probably take a shot or something and he'll be okay. But Denver, after that historically soft schedule, get a home game here too. So I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, Vic Fangio is so good too. He's going to scheme it up. I think the Broncos have a shot here.
You think they got a shot?
I think they
took them to win.
I think they got more than a shot.
What? No. You would.
A shot to lose. Because when the Ravens come to town.
Oh, wait a second.
When the Ravens roll into the Mile High City in their purple and black. When Lamar Jackson and Tyson Williams. Hey, you want to take the top three runners away from us going into a season where we want to run and we want to run.
Look at him.
And we want to put a seal here and we want to put a seal here. Von Miller, we're coming at you. We're coming at you with some zone read. What are you going to do? You going to guess right? You going to guess wrong? Ravens. Getting one.
Uh-oh. Mm.
And this guy right here sitting in Sessler's chair.
You know that?
He's going to lock it up.
Very nice.
Well, this is big for you because you might go like 1-0 or 0-1 on the seat. You're either going to win the competition or be in last place.
You saying I'm not going to be invited back?
Well, you said you didn't want us to
I didn't say that. I said I want you to invite
that.
Me. I want to be the decider.
That was it Jack Palance? Jack Palance.
Jack Palance.
A little Palance in you there.
I got to do some push-ups now.
Number one guy.
I do wonder if the Broncos... So you mentioned Brandon Staley. Just quickly on this, you know, is inviting all the teams to run. I mean, he learned it from the Godfather, Vic Fangio. Again, they want you to run the ball. They're begging you to run the ball. Normally, the Ravens would be the one team that would be like, sure, exactly. we'll oblige. Are they that team right now? I don't know.
I think they are.
I don't know if they are that team right now. They weren't last week against Denver, who's a good run. Detroit against who's a good run defense, and they threw it, and they threw it effectively. Lamar is leading the league in yards per completion and yards per carry, which is just a crazy stat that, like, anyone can do that.
Now, to me, this is a... That defense is really good. Let's play it safe. Let's do what we do best and force them to beat us. All right. That was fun. I really
need someone
that,
I can trust, Jack. You're my number one guy. Money.
Oh, I'm up.
You're up.
I will take Seahawks at 49ers.
Good value here.
Yeah. For people that, because I, you know, and I feel like we're doing a lot of West here, so our apologies to the people
West
out there.
West Coast bias. I'm all about it.
The NFC West is weird. If you look at the history of it, Kyle Shanahan always beats Sean McVay. Sean McVay always beats Pete Carroll, and Pete Carroll always beats Kyle Shanahan. It's crazy when you look at the records. I think the Seahawks are 5-1 the last 3 years against the 49ers. The 49ers are like 5-1 against the Rams, and the Rams are like 5-1 against the Seahawks. It's the weirdest
thing. And even Cliff Kingsbury, although he mostly loses, has beaten the 49ers regularly,
yes.
I think is
it's the strangest thing. And the idea that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and the reigning NFC West champions could start out 1-3 just seems crazy to me. And that's not the way to analyze a football game. Like, you know what? Russell Wilson will do something special, and it'll be a get-right game because Jimmy Garoppolo's not as good as people are saying they are, and Kyle Shanahan's acting like a weirdo with not playing Trey Lance as much as he should because he doesn't have a running game working right now. To me, I'm anxious to see how these two guys play each other, considering the issues that they have right now with what they want to do and what's not happening out there through 3 weeks.
They're both a little thin in terms of their offense, which is surprising. Like, you think of Kyle Shanahan, you think of that Falcons 2016 offense, and another guy ahead of the times, really including five guys catching the ball at all times. So you have to defend them all. Seahawks have two guys. 49ers have two guys. They're not getting more help. Like, the San Francisco running game isn't the same as it was, and I don't know who they are. If, you know, their best runner, as you mentioned, is kind of on the sideline. The Seahawks said that they wanted to play up tempo, and it just went away after the first week. But I'm with you, kind of just like in Russ we trust in this game when it comes down to it.
The Seahawks are so strange right now. The way they're set up, the defense was beyond hard, and I know Minnesota has a good offense, but to not even be competitive last week is very troubling.
Six straight quarters, really.
I mean, they, across the board, they couldn't do anything right. They couldn't get off the field on third down. They couldn't rush the quarterback. They couldn't stop the run. And I would say it's a really bad situation now because you got the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan's going to exploit all that. But I just don't know what to make sense of the 49ers on offense. And the other thing is we're saying now, what is going on with Kyle Shanahan? Just play Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's annoying to watch. And he is. He's super annoying to watch with all the indecision and the patting of the ball. And you just want to squeeze him. Just like throw the ball. Make a read.
I don't
make a second.
Get
rid of
Keep going, Dan. Keep, yeah, good looking, keep rolling.
Get rid of the ball, Jimmy.
I've said my piece on this one. Keep rolling, Dan.
But maybe. If we all agree that Kyle Shanahan's a genius, maybe there is a reason we haven't seen Trey Lance yet. One of the things we talked about, and Money, you did it, I'm sure, a ton in the lead up to the draft, was how little reps he actually had in college. Maybe they're in a tough spot because Jimmy G's not the answer, but Trey Lance isn't ready to be the answer.
I think that's fair, and you look at Justin Fields' first start, and that kind of supports that the notion that maybe these coaches...
See, but I think Trey Lance is way ahead of Justin Fields.
But just use him in the running game is all I'm
saying. That's what I'm saying,
He's the
too.
Best runner on your team.
Use the package.
Mix him in. Yeah,
use the package.
That's it. Mix him in. It's like, okay, we strike out 8 straight plays near the goal line, then we bring in Lance and we score. It's like, well, why not just bring in Lance on the first play right. and skip the first thing?
100%. Well, I mean, in Jimmy G's defense, there was an end zone drop that was pretty blatant.
There was a lot going on there.
I agree with you overall. And Seattle's defense, I just don't know, how does it get better? Do I want to say the Seahawks are going to go 1-3?
Seahawks O-line's pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
And that there is that weird stat, I think I mentioned it on the pod, or maybe the power rankings, you never know, that they are first in expected points per drive in the first half of the season and 32nd in the second half. What is that about? Is that Shane Waldron's fault? Is that Russell Wilson's fault?
Weird.
Is that a game script thing? I don't know. Is it just an anomaly because it's
Could
only
be. It's a guy that's never called plays before. You can script it out, and that's fine. And then when you got to make your adjustments in freelance,
funky, it's a big game because both of these fan bases, even though the 49ers would be 2-2 if they lost, two straight home games, that would also be their 6th straight loss in Levi's. I mean, that place just does not seem like a home field advantage. Whichever team loses this game, like, their fans are going to be panicking.
Hey, put down the wine and cheese and pick up the pom-poms. Let's go. Am I right?
49ers have an underrated, brutal fan base. Like, violent.
Oh, great fans, but there's something about that stadium they don't win about. They don't win there.
Let's
the Raiders took all the heat. But I would put the 49ers in terms of parking lot violence up with anyone in the league, having called a ton of their games in the past.
Santa Clara, maybe it's different or no?
No.
Well, let me say this, Money.
Still an aggressive fan base.
Mr. Chargers, back in 2008, week 4, Brett Favre had signed with the Jets or was traded to the Jets. So me and my buddy Circlin took the ride down from L.A. to San Diego. And we sat in the upper deck at the old Qualcomm. What a dump that was.
Oh, yeah.
Falling apart. But we were excited. We went up to our seats, and it was constant harassment and just jerks everywhere.
Is that right?
Yeah, there was one guy that just stood in the aisle when we were trying to go up the steps, and he's probably about 400 pounds and looked like he'd been in prison maybe 6 times for various offenses. And it just made me think, I didn't know Chargers fans were like that. Is this a California fan
Could
football
be.
Thing?
I don't get that vibe, but here's my pushback to that is, maybe just wear a polo to the game.
Oh, here we go again. Sports. You're a jaded sports guy.
I think it's one thing I've never understood, why you got to
wear
the jersey
to the game. I mean, I didn't have my face painted or anything.
I actually think with NFL games, if you're on the road, it's a thought that you are going, it's going to happen in a lot of stadiums.
Yes.
So
it's a
thought.
This is the most ridiculous take ever. Like, you guys sound so ridiculous.
My take?
Well, they sound
both
weak.
Both of you.
You guys haven't been to a lot of NFL games then. That's what happened.
You can be a man.
What do you mean NFL games? Of course. I was in Broncos, Mile High in a Patriots
jersey. They're nice.
Jersey.
I bet they're nice.
No, they're not.
When we lost.
No, they're not.
Here's all I'm saying.
You got to get harassed. That's what happened. It's not baseball. It's not basketball. You're going to get harassed.
Dudes, home field fans put on a jersey and they think they're supposed to play football. They get this level of aggression that makes no sense. It's like, dude, I'm just here to watch a game.
I'm with you though.
Yeah.
Be proud. It's fun.
Call me jaded. Wear the polo.
Right. Oh,
enjoy the game.
The press box.
Not even a t-shirt. You got to put on a polo.
Whatever, wear a t-shirt.
I'm just saying, like I brought
a weirdo in your jersey with your name on the back. It's like, why do you have to wear a jersey?
All right, let's go.
We really got to pick it up.
Yes.
Here comes.
I'm the worst.
My pick And I got a late game. So you got, this is strategy money. Keep this in mind.
Okay.
You don't want to load up in one side or the other. So I'm going to get an early game. Chiefs at Eagles. Let's see what's going on. For two teams. Where are the Chiefs at? Money was just like off his rocker in the A block of power rankings, thinking that the Chiefs are going to win like four games this year. Chiefs,
that's not true.
I think the Chiefs are going to be fine.
They
are not. Well, hang on. They are not executing in ways that you expect them to. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you're a little bit nervous now because you're thinking, wait a second. We always win these games when it's late and close. And then it happens twice in a row. And then you look around and you're watching the highlights around the league and you look at the standings like, wait a second, my division's now loaded maybe? And we maybe lost a little of our magic pixie dust and Andy Reid went to the hospital on Sunday? What's going on? Is our season a little bit off the our first round pick running back that we all summer? Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he is unbelievably hot this summer. He's working in the passing game. He's going to be the guy they thought last year. Well, now he's fumbled 2 weeks ago in a row. All issues. And then on the other side of the ball, you got the Eagles, who just no-showed on Monday Night Football and made everybody that believes in the Eagles look bad, including Greg. So while I believe
in Ricky,
the Chiefs,
Ricky has followed me down the Eagles.
Yeah, I have too.
It's a bad take to
so
join me with. Ricky.
The Chiefs have to get some things straightened out. Money, I believe in them to do that. But the fact that they've struggled the way they have, you don't just assume it happens on the road in Philly.
They just need Frank Clark back. You know, they need more pass rush. Like they've got nothing going. Justin Herbert had all day to pick them apart. Their secondary's always been a big question mark. Tyrann Mathieu's great, but there's not much else back there, and he just carved them up.
Yeah, I think you can panic about the defense. I have zero concerns about
either.
The offense. Oh, no, like you lost a last play game where you lost the turnover margin 4-0. I mean, you can't keep losing the turnover margin like that, but it's a little bit fluky. If I'm the Chargers, you almost want to win by more than that if you win 4-0.
The one thing I'll say, though, that I think does come out of that, I don't know if you noticed, after he fumbled, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was running like this the rest of the game. So it's clearly in his head, and everybody's going to start punching at that thing. And if they get a couple more out, even if they recover them, I think that could get sideways
sure.
on him in that backfield.
And, like, offensively, the Chiefs are missing a little bit of the flash play, like the splat, like the numbers look good, but Mahomes hasn't had the big time throws. They kind of came into the league talking about that they want to go on these long drives because that's how defenses are playing them. But it's like, why play into what the defenses are trying to do? And again, against the Chargers, 11 play drive, 12 play drive, 10 play drive, 12 play drive. And it that part of it I don't like, but I also think they're going to be one of the best five offenses in the league, so I'm not that concerned unless their defense is the very worst or one of the three or four worst in the league, and that's on the table. I think that's on the table right now. But I'm not worried about them in Philly.
And those splash plays that they're famous for, whether it's Kelce going for 55 down the seam, or of course Tyreek Hill, not only do those lead to points, it also kind of flips momentum of games. It changes the vibe of a game when the Chiefs defense is asleep at the switch early in the game, which happens all the time. All of a sudden they go bang bang and the whole game's different. They need to get back to that explosive element, but I'm okay with the Chiefs right now.
Are you gonna lock Eagles? Up the Eagles for the third straight week, Ricky, or no, not this week,
Ricky? What's your record, by the way?
I believe I am 0-2.
So you should thank me for not letting you count last week double. Because now that's a more.
Oh, here comes the patriarchy.
I'm saying fair. It was a more fair solution, and now you're not 0-3.
That's
more fair.
You're just look at it this way, Greg. You're pulling every wrong lever possible in the locks. If you just went and went along with that, Ricky would be 0-3 right now, and she would get.
But no, I wouldn't want her to. I want a fair, equitable game. It wouldn't make sense for it. She's only made two off picks. She doesn't deserve to be behind me. I should be in last.
The patriarchy is here with the lock.
Please. Chiefs romp.
All right. They should. The Eagles on a short week, by the way, too. There's a lot cooking
on
there.
A short week, down three offensive linemen now. I mean, the whole thing with them was like, well, if the offensive line stays healthy, they're one of the best in the league. All right, you're week four. You've lost three of your starters.
If the Chiefs pass rush isn't getting home against the Eagles, do we even trust Jalen Hurts at this stage to pick them apart? We're all going to find out. Let's take a break before we snake it.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Oh, time for underdog of the week.
So you get to go again, Dan? Is that how this works?
Snakes to me. No, not the Pit Vipers.
Pit Vipers are snakes.
Check out the power rankings every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern.
I mean, how many? That's like the eighth mention of it.
Yeah, take a sip of your drink every time they bring up power rankings.
It's like, hey, remember back in the B block?
Join the revolution.
It's a great podcast.
Time for Underdog of the Week. The segment is brought to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I'll tell you who's an underdog this week. It's my New York Jets. I will grab this with my next pick. Titans at Jets at the Meadowlands. Now, the Titans, very nice. Very nice performance back-to-back weeks here, getting victories and leaning on their stars to do it. But they have issues here. And I have to see where they are at with the practice report. But Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are both banged up right now. And there's a chance neither of them plays. So they're top wide receivers. Luckily, you still have Ryan Tannehill. You still have Derrick Henry, two guys who carried you to the win last week. And obviously, there are heavy favorites to take care of business at the Meadowlands. Greg, the thing that disappoints me the most, Greg, about the Jets so far, and they're off to an 0-3 start for the third straight year, that even the Jets. We don't need that, Rick. It is not on in New York City for either team. The thing that really sticks in my craw, Greg, about this 0-3 start is that it's a boring 0-3. They have 20 points in three games. Half those points came in garbage time. And this whole idea, we're going to get rid of Adam Gase. We're going to bring in Mike LaFleur. We're going to bring in all these different schemes.
Heard that Salleluya.
Not getting that until we get a W.
It's a good one.
We're going to have a QB-friendly system for this kid. And none of that. Elijah Moore was going to be this breakout star. All that has just disappeared, Greg. And that's what annoys me. It's the offense flatlining out of the gates. And I know, and it's only the Jets, they get like arguably the best three defenses in the league back to back to back to start the season, or just top defenses. It softens up now against Tennessee, but I have no reason to be confident.
Softens way up. This is a big week. It's a winnable game. Even if Julio plays, my guess would be he does just because he finished last week's game and Julio missing practice.
But Julio spent most of the fourth quarter on the bench.
That's fair. That's fair. But he did play. So just based on his history, he is a guy who never practices. A.J. Brown's fully expected to miss this game. But I think their star-heavy system is faulty. Ryan Tannehill's working really hard for yards this year. He's having a run. Their receivers after those two guys are not impressive. Their defense is easily the easiest that Zach Wilson has played. I want to see some progress out of Zach Wilson. I want to see some layups. I want to see some drives. I think it's doable against Tennessee. Like, show us something, because if you just looked at these stats the Jets have, imagine if Adam Gase was coaching this team. I mean, people would be.
That's what I mean. We were supposed to be clear the Adam Gase type game.
But here's the thing.
Here we are.
It's not a panic thing. Teams change, but this is the week. Start showing me something. Football Outsiders showed that the Tennessee Titans have one of the worst DVOAs of any 2-1 team in history, which isn't a surprise because it got blown out week one.
Right.
But when you watch them, that last week was about as unimpressive of a two-score victory as you could conceivably have. That Titans team has a whole lot of issues that Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and in theory, these receivers make up for, because the rest of the 53-man roster, I'm like, that's not a great team.
I mean, all I got is the Jets are terrible. Like, it's hard to watch that team play football.
Defense has been average, actually, I think.
I'm talking offensively. And I get it. You lose a lot of your offensive line, and Becton's a great left tackle. You lose him, and the running game's not what we had hoped, and I was kind of excited about that running. I was sort of excited about this offense, like you said it, Dan. And it's just, man, we end up watching it in the booth a lot just because of DJ's relationship with Joe Douglas, so we tend to watch some Jets. And
sure. And
I want to see Zach Wilson succeed. He was a blast to watch at BYU, and, man, it just
He's not making his line look
good. No, it is not good.
And his receivers had some drops last. I think it's been a total meltdown, but if you're a Jets fan listening right now, this is the way we need to look at this.
Go win this game, or at least...
Well, don't even need to win it.
Score some touchdowns. Just score a couple touchdowns.
Week 1, 2, 3, nightmares. Hit reset and start playing a brand of competitive football and score some points. Even if you end up getting beat late, because
I love the Jets as they're a touchdown underdog. I love them to keep it close.
That's why they're the underdog of the week. Brought to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. All right, money. Your last pick.
My last pick is going to be Lions Bears.
Oh, thanks, just for getting that out of the way, so we don't have to watch it.
I just like the drama.
Bad news. We still have to watch it. Right?
Yes, I do. The Lions are not going to go 0-17.
Oh, money says 0, not 0, which drives me nuts.
It does drive you nuts.
Oh, it kills me. It stops me.
Hey, like, remember back in the D block when you said 0 instead of
0? Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern there you go. And Pacific.
I like the drama in this game. I don't know if it's going to be Andy Dalton, if it's going to be Justin Fields. That offensive line is terrible. It's not like the Lions had a great game against the Ravens. So much of that score was predicated on self-inflicted wounds and drops by Hollywood. At the same time, I have been on record, even after their victory over the Bengals, I think the Bears are one of the worst teams in football this year.
Well, offensively, there's no question.
And I just think defensively, it's too much for them to overcome.
The defense seems good, but not great, or maybe even average. And then when you put this together with the offense and what you saw last week, which was not just uncompetitive and embarrassing, frankly, with your rookie getting sacked 9 times, you get in a situation here, money, where you put this kid out there and then you give you such a poor performance in coaching and offensive line play that you worry about, are we jacking this kid up? Are we going to make him see ghosts?
Was his fault. Those 9 sacks, say, watching him back, probably 5 of them were on Justin Fields.
If you put him in a situation where that he's not ready, then you're just going to kill
Dalton
yourself
started.
Down the line.
So am I. Wouldn't
you start Dalton because after what happened last week?
They said Andy Dalton is the starter when healthy. Down. And then he was limited in practice on Wednesday. And unless they're going out of their way to confuse the Lions.
When you got to go out of your way to confuse the Lions to get a win.
Then Andy Dalton's starting. Because if Andy Dalton's healthy, last week's Justin Fields game was the reason why Nagy said it. And you can bang on Nagy all you want, and you should. But he's running an Andy Dalton offense, which is like quick game and get the ball out. And that's not really Justin Fields' game. And the Lions are built pretty well to stop the run. They stopped Baltimore. That's like, it's not a good strategy, but that was like what Dan Campbell wanted to do. Draft guys who can stop the run. And they do have guys, and they got Brockers. Like, so I think they'll be able to stop Montgomery.
If this game was in Detroit, I wouldn't touch it. Mm. But the fact that it's at Soldier Field, all those fans are hot. And they're hot at, you know, whether it's fair or not.
I do want to watch this game. I take it back.
Bad vibe. Yeah,
this
bad
Lions, vibe. Their comeback was impressive.
Yeah.
It took a lot of chutzpah.
Moxie.
They could certainly win this game, but I think the Bears defense has been better than you guys give them credit for.
Okay.
They did a good job against Baltimore. They did a great job against Cincinnati, who only scored
10. And they got to Baker.
And really swallowed them up. And so I think their defense might be enough to win this game.
You know, Greg, you brought it up last week that Lions fans are sneaky great fans and loyal fans, and they'll even be cheering after a good play when it's 34-17 against the Packers. All true, and it's the first thing that popped in my mind when, you know, 60,000 fans went into that building last week and watched a 66-yard field goal go off the crossbar and over it after a missed delay of game penalty.
After a fourth and 19.
Like, what are we doing here, football
gods? The ball went to the middle of the field, too.
Hey, football gods. And you can't smite me. You can't curse me because I'm a Jets fan. Do your best. What are you doing here? Can we clean it up a little bit, football gods? Greg, we got to move.
Okay. No, wait. The Lions, they're going to do it this
what?
Week.
No, Ricky. Don't do this, Ricky.
They're going to do it this
do
week.
Do it, Ricky. Do it, Ricky. Do it.
I just have a good feeling.
How good's the feeling?
I love it.
You know when
I love it.
It just like starts tingling and it starts.
Oh, wait a second.
It starts.
Oh, I've never had that feeling.
And
wait, what?
You know, all of a sudden, you look at Dan Campbell and all the caffeine he drinks.
Yes.
And you look at them biting knee clocks.
Knee clocks.
I just saw that. kneecaps. I just saw that Dan Campbell has an in-game clock manager. Why don't other teams do this as well?
They do.
Many do.
Okay, well, you guys, this is my time.
Tell us more about the knee clocks.
So my knee clocks are tingling, you guys, and I'm going to lock up the lion.
I like it, Ricky.
Yeah.
And you need a W, not as bad as Greg, because Greg,
I love it.
Whoa, 0-3.
Yeah, locking up the Bucks over the Patriots.
Right?
He's
Greg,
desperate.
It's fine.
It means a lot to him. That's a lot to him. He needs to win this one.
No, I'm done.
Get to that 1-3,
I'm
Greg.
Done.
Get back to respectability.
What are you taking,
Ricky? Greg loves me. I'm her best friend for showing her how to go 0-3. Like, it's... I'm our leader right
Greg,
now.
Greg, close out the draft.
Okay.
Then we'll speed through the rest of the games.
Will we, though?
We'll do our best.
We better try.
Money's like, Petros has been doing an hour so far on his own. He's like, hamana, hamana, hamana.
That's exactly what he's
doing. I'll get the Saints game into this early block. Saints-Giants, a little more than 15 years after Steve Gleason became a household name. This feels like... The game you don't want to draw if you're the Giants.
Bad spot.
There's just going to be something extra.
Bad spot.
And if you don't think there's going to be just something extra, hey, watch these first three Saints games. I know they got blown out eventually against the Panthers, missing seven coaches and six players. But if you watch the defense in that game, that Sam Darnold team, despite the great field position they had, were stuck on 17 again and again and again. And there's something going on with this Saints defense where a little greater than the sum of their parts. I think this Saints team is a little greater than the sum of their parts.
Uh-oh. Is he going to?
No, I already locked up the Bucks. I wouldn't even
it.
Be allowed to
you
lock
change
up the
it
Giants.
To this, something more respectable.
That's right.
This is actually over the number. And the Patriots are not. So
well, okay. Well, look at me.
Can't.
Look at
me. I would happily
well,
lock
F
this
me.
Up. Their coverage in 2021 is what is making this defense special. CeeDee Deuce, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, one of the most underrated safeties in the league. Malcolm Jenkins is still playing well. DeMario Davis. Those guys have been together. They pass the receivers off. They know how to play zone. They know how to play man. I just think they
is
are...
Is he gonna?
No. They're just a really underrated group right now that I think knows how to swallow up mediocre passing games. And that's what the Giants are ultimately. Mediocre.
0-4. That's Joe himself. Judge. Kyle Rudolph. My head coach coaches the whole
He's like
team.
One of the most well-liked players
and I
the last
love Kyle
decade,
Rudolph, too, and the experience
him.
I've had.
He's
but
an
I
enemy
mean,
of the people.
A graduate of
Notre Dame.
Elder High School,
oh.
The same high school where Nick Wesseling
is
being interviewed at in a feature.
Is that right?
How you feel now,
about
buddy?
Chris
Once
Wesseling.
Again.
Yeah. Listen, Chris Wesseling's alma mater.
Oh, Kyle Rudolph didn't have to say that. He could just say, I love Joe Judge. He's a great coach. That's all you got to do. Instead, he's got to take the shot. And now,
he needs to step up because they might not have Shepard in this game. That's a huge
they don't
loss.
Have anybody.
They might not have Slayton, their offensive line.
Obviously, Evan Ingram's
player.
Banged up.
All right.
Troubling. Jameis, I'm going to make, here's my bold prediction. Jameis goes over 150 yards for the first time this season. Let's go 303. Let's wipe the floor with them. Let's give them something to cheer about for 3 hours.
The Giants getting beat by the Falcons last week. That's curtains for them, I think. Speaking of the Falcons, let's go there next. Washington football team at
that's amazing.
Atlanta.
I took the Lions Bears. He takes a 0-3
team. The draft is officially over.
Yes.
The
draft's over now.
And
we're
the Steelers and
the
Packers are still on the board.
Yeah.
Steelers are so boring.
I know, but I'm saying it's the Steelers and the Packers. We're going Lions, Bears, Saints,
We're
Giants.
Getting there. We're Washington football team at Falcons. Yes, the Falcons beat the Giants, but I didn't watch that game and think to myself, oh, okay, maybe they're turning the corner here. I do not think they're a very good team. I don't think Washington is a good team, or, well, they could be. I'm not writing off the football team, and I think, in fact, I know they're going to get healthy here. And we've been talking about where's Young and Sweaty?
You know
where
it.
Is this defense? What is going on
it's weird.
With what we thought this team was going to be? Well, guess what? Matt Ryan's a statue back there. This line's not going to be able to block the Washington front. And guess what?
Wait, no.
I am locking up the football team. Forget about this West Coast bias. That's some East Coast bias for you. The football team will get the W, Young and Sweaty. Mark my words, you're going to see Matt Ryan eating fake turf all game long.
And wow.
Anybody have a thought on this game?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I think these are two of the worst teams in the league. One of them
you put Washington
be
down that low. You think they're one of the very worst teams?
Yeah, I think they're one of the worst
okay.
teams. They have one of the worst defenses, and that's what they're supposed to be based on. So until they stop playing like one of the worst defenses, you have Tyler Heinicke's like a little better than their quarterbacks last year, but not enough better. They just had And yeah, you're right. The Falcon, like, what are you doing here, Arthur Smith? You're turning Calvin Ridley into a guy who's averaging 8 yards per catch.
It's Pitts, driving me crazy.
Pitts is not going, not been a huge factor. No attempts last week over 20 yards. It's two bad teams, but one of them's going to be 2-2, and teams can change. Washington has a much better chance to change.
That's what
I'm with
thinking.
You there. I'm with
the
you.
The Bills
there.
Scored 27 points in the first half against Washington last week. Josh Allen was over 300 yards passing with 9 minutes to play in the third quarter. That's all bad. But it has to turn somewhere. Sometimes just beating up on a bad team is what you need to get your confidence going again and get your scheme working the way it should. That's what I think. Up next, why don't we hit it since Money mentioned it, Steelers at Packers. And you know CBS, they said, let's send Nance and Romo there. Well, that's great.
Lambeau,
that's great.
It's Packers.
Yeah, we got
Steelers.
Lambeau, and the Steelers are going to be a powerhouse at the end of the day. Well, I don't think they are, Money. I don't think the Steelers are at all. And,
they look
and
terrible.
I don't think they have a chance here, do they?
They look terrible. The O-line is terrible. Najee Harris is not explosive right now, even though he's getting 15 targets, like 12 receptions per game. There's just not enough juice there. Big Ben, look, it. Father time is not friendly, man, and typically it does not end how anybody wants it to in this sport. Very rarely do you get the Tom Brady story or the Jerome Bettis story. It typically ends like this, and it feels like this is sort of your standard end to a superstar story in an NFL career.
Plus, like, people are saying, like, you know, he's not the type of guy who's going to age well. It's like, he has aged well. He's past that point now. He's aged.
Yeah. It's over.
He's like 30.
He's 38,
he's like 39.
Right?
He was playing at a very high level at 35.
But that
36.
Was kind of like the old, even right. as recently as the Peyton Manning era. It was like once you hit 37, 38, you were cooked. Now there's more thought. Maybe you can get to 39, right. 40,
he's not
but
the guy
Ben's
to
not
break
that guy.
Mold.
Yeah. Ben's not that guy.
And yeah, I like the Packers to win because as much as everyone's enjoying piling on Ben Roethlisberger, probably because he hasn't been like that nice of them over the years. Like, this team has other problems.
Oh, you mean the beat
Watt.
Reporters?
Hey, I just mean nationally, beat reporters, everyone.
Oh, because he blocked us on Twitter.
Right, that sort of stuff. It's just like, I mean, you know, he was credibly accused of sexual assault multiple times. I think it's okay to mention that
bad
he's
guy?
Not like America's favorite.
What's wrong with that? Yes. Bad guy. You good guy, bad guy.
Hey, I'm not covering for Big Ben, but.
Right, that's all I'm saying.
I know, Greg.
He's not the only problem. Can we get I know everyone loves Minkah Fitzpatrick. Can we get like through one game where multiple touchdowns don't go over his head for like 60 yards? Because like, I know I'm not like X's and O's. I know all the safeties assignment, but every Steelers game you watch, there are literally multiple touchdowns.
Literally.
Where Minkah Fitzpatrick is running after the receiver as they score a touchdown. So whether that's the rest of the secondary's fault or his fault, I'm not saying I know that. But it's a problem, and their offensive line stinks too. Like, it's not just Ben Roethlisberger. That's all I'm saying.
They're a mess. Moving on. Texans at Bills. As we all like,
I mean,
the Texans are trying their best, and they like
good
their
to have
old
Lovie
coach.
Smith back in the league.
Lovie Smith is doing a nice
they
job
pretty well.
On that D.
That's what I mean. It's good to have him back running a good defense.
Oh, that's great. But if Josh Allen... And I was actually surprised his PFF grade, and that's obviously subjective, but was not as high. And I watched that game. I'm like, that guy, did you factor in PFF that he was cutting through swirling winds in that building and basically doing whatever he wanted?
There are things that PFF does that I absolutely
probably not
love.
The
grades
they
are
probably,
not them.
Probably not. And they probably nicked him for a couple of those deep misses, but that doesn't seem too big.
Anyway, the Bills, if they get that Josh Allen again, which there's no reason to think they won't against this Texans defense, even though it's been better than expected under Lovie Smith, this feels like a blowout. Tell me why it won't be, Money.
It will be.
Yeah.
Greg, you want to know what I'm going to acknowledge here? When talking about the Bills?
The 17.5 point spread in this game. How about that for a week
17 and a half.
How about that for a week four game? And I still would not take the if I gotta choose and I do, I'm taking the Bills.
There's
you're laying the wood.
Yeah. I mean, we have to do it on game picks. They put it right above the pick now. They're keeping score. I'm still taking the Bills.
I'm a sucker. That. I am a sucker for the Big Ten.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to see A.J. Epenesa rebound from a disappointing rookie year to look pretty darn good in his sophomore campaign and continuing the wave of pass rushers and pressure guys that they have on that front for Sean McDermott. I think that's going to be a big problem for the AFC the whole season.
It'll definitely
they got
be a problem
bunch
for Davis Mills. Yeah. I mean, if Tyrod's in this game, I'd put it under 10. That's how Tyrod might win the MVP just for not playing. Like, you just this team is unplayable, I think, with Davis Mills. I mean, look how much Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are struggling. Put them on the Texans.
Yeah.
And then turn them into Davis Mills because they're much better than Davis Mills.
Over under, I'll set it at 3.5. how much the second place team in the AFC finishes behind the Bills.
The AFC?
AFC East, sorry.
Oh, AFC.
I was going to say, I think. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Like, that was bold. Although I'm kind of with you that I would take the Bills as the number one seed right now if I had to choose. What should the over-under be?
3.5, I said it.
Oh, under then. Three is a lot.
I think they're going to go 13-4, and I'm not feeling too hot about the rest of the division anymore.
That's true, but I'm not trusting my prognostication skills. And three is just to get four games ahead. That's like a lot. That's
I mean, the Pats did it probably like 12 years.
The only
in
question
row.
I have is
I think the Pats can get to seven or eight. You know,
yeah. Is it toxic in Miami? You know, is it?
It's fair to ask.
Is it weird? As it feels like it's getting.
Let's
down
go to
there.
That game then.
All right, it is our last game. It is the Colts at the Dolphins. The Colts, obviously, you needed them. In fact, many of us expected them to get off the mat in what felt like a must win against a Titans team that still feels vulnerable, and they couldn't do it. They just couldn't figure it out. So then you're like, okay, maybe the Colts just aren't any good. We talked about on Tuesday, Greg, extreme starts that I think you and I are in the same boat that they could come back. Well, if they're going to, they got to beat the Dolphins. And by the way, what makes this an interesting game is the Dolphins absolutely need this game too, because if you look where they are schedule wise, if they don't win this game, I believe they have the Bucks next week and more trouble after that. So their season could be in deep, deep ruin if they don't find a way to win this game. Sneaky high stakes here.
Yeah. I trust in the Dolphins. I think they're better than the sum of their parts.
I think
they'll win this game. These are the two worst pass blocking offensive lines, according to PFF. Not a huge shock if you've watched the Dolphins game, but man, that's the opposite of what we expected out of the Colts. And they've had injuries, and Eric Fisher's just coming back. But what are we talking about here? If we've got one of the worst pass blocking offensive lines and Carson Wentz can't move. And then the thing that stuck out to me in that Titans game is the Colts defensive stars aren't the same. Darius Leonard is banged up right now and kind of playing through it. Buckner's been quiet. Kenny Moore and Xavier Rhodes, who were playing well, like, they're giving up big play. Like, there's not a lot they have their, what is it, your hat to hang on? They need a hook. They have nothing to put. Like, they're just wearing their hat. They're not going to hang it. They're just got to wear it because they got nothing they do well right now.
It just goes back to, hey, we're going to reunite Jalen Waddle with Tua, and it's gonna unlock him, and you're going to see why he's special. Just draft the tackle, man. Just draft Slater. Draft Sewell, get the guy protection up front. And I get it. You already invested in Austin Jackson, and they got Eichenberg that a lot of teams liked later.
Really struggling.
The whole line is struggling. It's, you know, and look, it's worked out to some degree for Burrow. He's still getting hit a little too much. I cringe every time he takes a shot, but Jamar Chase has worked out really well instead of one of the tackles.
Right. It sounds good until you get to week three and you have Jacoby Brissett not having time to get the ball to
that
O line, throwing
is
it to him for
terrible.
Yards.
I mean, it is terrible.
They are Dolphins. Let's be honest; they're one Damian Harris fumble away from being 0-3.
That's
themselves.
Fine, but you love the Raiders. They pushed them to overtime.
They did.
I know it took.
They did.
I love having Jacoby. I know it's a short game. We're not talking too long, but I love having Jacoby Brissett back.
He's
in my
great.
Life.
He's a great
talk
backup.
About a gamer. Yep. Talk about a guy who puts his lunch pail on. I mean,
he puts his lunch pail on. Versus
I don't know. His lunch
on his hat.
He puts on his hard hat. He brings his lunch pail. There's something about him. 4th and 9, game on the line, hits it. 4th and 1 on the goal line, game on the line, puts his foot in the dirt and makes a guy miss. Hits the 2-point conversion with the game on the line. 4th and 20 on overtime, he hits it. There is something about
it. I agree. It was
almost like having a good backup quarterback is a valuable thing.
He's like clutch though. He's not. You know what I mean? Your starter, but he's got like a Frank Reich vibe where if you put him in the playoff game, I somehow believe that he'll make the key play.
Here's what I was saying, by the way, at the top of this. The Colts, obviously 0-3. They don't beat Miami this week. They're 0-4 and going to Baltimore. Have a nice season. Enjoy golf in January. The Dolphins, if they don't take care of business here, if they lose and go to 1-3, then they're at Tampa and they're 1-4. But if they win this game, you get beaten Tampa. Okay, you're fine. You're all right. You're 2-3 because then you got at Jacksonville, home Atlanta the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And you're going to be okay, but right. Don't lose this game. Don't lose it.
I believe of the four units, special teams, I know you're an important part, but the Dolphins defense is the best of the four units.
And
that should be
chaos.
the difference in this game.
Money, you've said it all.
I have. I've said too much. It's why this pod is an hour.
No, this is actually where we're trending
we're
in the right direction. This is our shortest Thursday show by a couple minutes. So we're doing
I feel
well.
Much better.
Thank you, Money. And in case we haven't mentioned it, we have a television show together.
It's called Power Rankings. It is on NFL Network Tuesdays at 3 o'clock
Hey,
Eastern,
it's like, remember in the E-block when I said the same point I'm going to say now?
You could have heard that 2 days earlier.
And, that was your opportunity.
That with all your
really
friends.
It is such a good bit.
Yeah, I love this
really bit. Love it. I really love it.
And if you want to hear everything Greg just said on this show, watch his, what is it, the pick show.
Game Day View.
Game Day View.
Friday afternoon.
Hear the same exact thing he said here on there.
I try to mix it up. Yeah, Friday evenings.
What's the view?
Replayed Sunday mornings.
Is it like on a balcony? Is that why it's called Game Day View? Because check out this view.
I wanted to change the title.
Okay.
All right, good
job.
Well,
you've said it all.
You've said it all, Greg. All right, good stuff. Hey, a little... go check out the subreddit this weekend, everybody. Around the NFL. That's all we're going to say. Go check it out. Little Easter egg. Dan Hansen signing off. For the old boss, Ricky Hollywood, and Money. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.